Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Mem Dalet, Chapter 44. We are in the middle of the last section of Yechezkel's Nevuah, which is about the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. In the last Perek, we saw Hashem's Shechina returning to its place in the Heichal and learned about the Mizbeach and its consecration. In this Perek, we will learn about the roles and expectations for the Kohanim during this time. In the last parak, we were introduced to the idea that there were areas of Yechezkel that are problematic. In this parak, that issue is magnified. The parak lists laws for Kohanim that do not appear in the Torah. In Shabbos 13b, it says, "V'ram zachor oso ha'ish latov." Truly, that man is to be remembered for good. Who? V'chananya ben Chizkiah shmo. His name is Chananya ben Chizkiah. She'ilmalei hu nignas sefer Yechezkel. Without him, the book of Yechezkel would have been suppressed. Shahayu Dvarav Sosrin Divrei Torah, because its contents, in its many details, contradicted matters of the Torah. Ne'asa, what did Chananya do? He'alulo Shloshmeos Garvei Shemen. They brought up to him 300 jugs of oil for light and for food to his V'yashav Ba'aliyah, and he sat in his upper story, V'darshan, and he interpreted these explanations from Yechezkel, according to that, although they seem contradictory, he resolved the contradictions. One of the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam is that the Torah is eternal and will not change. If a Navi says a halacha from Torah's Moshe, from Moshe's laws, has changed, that is proof that the Navi is a false Navi and needs to be killed. How then can Yechezkel have different laws for the Kohanim than what is written in the Torah? Why wasn't he banned? There are three primary approaches to solve this dilemma. The first is the approach of Rashi and Chazal. Whenever there is a contradiction, they reinterpret the pasuk to resolve the contradiction, which often changes the meaning of text and takes it out of the realm of pshat. Why is this a legitimate approach? Rabbi Menachem Liebtag has a very insightful idea. When reading a book, one must look at the motivation of the author to understand the contents. Is this a book of history, of morality? With that lens, what is Yechezkel's goal in this parak? The pshat is serving that goal. Yechezkel is now speaking to a nation facing long galus. This parak is not a halachic sefer. That is the goal of Torah's Moshe. These prakim are here to inspire the nation who is demoralized. They can act in a way that brings them to geula. The Maharal explains that for any pasuk, the pshat only explains physical realities. The who, what, where, when, and how. The drash, the homiletic interpretations, explains spiritual truths. Here, Yechezkel is communicating spiritual ideas couched in very concrete terms. The meaning of the pasuk, says Rabbi Yochanan Menachos 45a, will only be understood when Eliyahu comes during the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. The Radak takes a different approach. He acknowledges the contradiction, yet still interprets the pasukim based on the pshat. He shows how the new laws are only enhancing the pre-existing laws by increasing the daily kedusha of the Kohanim. The new laws don't fundamentally change the halacha, so it is permitted. Another approach is that of the Malbim. He acknowledges the change and says that it does seem to replace the Torah law. There is a caveat to the rule that a Navi can't change Torah law. He may do so as a horash shah for a limited time. The Malbim feels that these changes will only be practiced during the inauguration ceremonies of the Beis HaMikdash. Before discussing the laws of the Kohanim, Yechezkel first discusses in Pesukim Aleph to Dalet 1-4 the Eastern Gate. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Yechezkel is taken by the Malach to Derech Shar HaMikdash HaChitzon HaPona Kadim, toward the outer gate of the Mikdash, which is facing east, Vhu Sagor, and it is closed. Was that the gate that faces the outer gate closed, or was the outer gate itself closed? The Malbim and the Barbanel say that the eastern gate of the outer courtyard will be closed because of the word Chitzon in the Pasuk. Rashi, Mitzvahs, David, and Radak explain the Pesukim according to Chazal. This is the eastern gate of the Heichal, but not the main gate in the Heichal. On the eastern side of the Heichal building, which is the Beis HaMikdash building, there were two small entrances to the left and right of the main doors. This small gate to the south, to the left, will be closed. The Midrash Tanhuma, who aligns with Rashi, says that we can learn from this pasuk about the humility of Hashem. A human king, a Melech Basar V'dam, insists on entering through the most grand entrance. In 1898, Kaiser Wilhelm II visited Yerushalayim. The Ottomans broke open the wall by the Jaffa Gate so he could enter the city on an enormous white horse. In contrast, Hashem Kiviyachal slips into his home. We are meant to learn that what we do should not be for honor and fame. To be a true leader, one should try to go unnoticed while helping as many as possible. The reason the gate is closed is because Hashem has entered the Mikdash through that gate. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3 tells us more about this gate. Es hanasi nasihu yeshev bo lachol lachad lefnei Hashem. As for the prince, being a prince, he shall sit there to eat bread before the Hashem. According to most of the Mefarshim, this nasi, which is going to be mentioned again throughout the end of the Sefer, is the Melech HaMashiach, who, because of his elevated status, should not eat together with everyone else. Rashi is a lone physician who says that this prince is actually the Kohen Gadol who will have a changed status during the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. The parak includes this topic. Yecheskel is brought through the northern gate so that he is facing the Mikdash, which fills again with the glory of Hashem. The Malbim explains why Yecheskel needs to see the Kavod Hashem a second time. With the gate locked, Yecheskel thinks that Hashem has left Har Bayis never to return. After seeing the Shechina and the locked gate, he is being told that the Shechina has come, is staying, and is never leaving, and that's why the gate is locked. The next part of the parak from Hetetes Zion 5-16 discusses who may serve the Mikdash. First, Yecheskel is charged with warning Bnei Yisrael to be careful to restrict access to the more holy and more restricted areas of Har Bayis. He says, "V'santa libcha l'mvo habayis b'chol motzei hamikdash." Pay attention to the entrances to the house and to the exits from the sanctuary. In a short phrase, the temple is called a bayis, a house, and a mikdash, a holy sanctuary. Rav Breuer explains the difference. Before we enter the temple, it is a bayis, a simple place. How do we know if our visit is holy? It is not based on who we were before we came in. If when a person leaves a holy place, he brings the Kedusha with him into his daily life, then it is clear that his visit was to a mikdash and was holy. Yecheskel warned the people that in the past they allowed foreigners who were not so hard to serve in the mikdash, which was a sin. Pasuk Zion verse 7 outlines who came in the past, Bnei Nechar, foreigners. These are not actual foreigners, but were people who acted distant from Hashem, who were arelei lev, uncircumcised of the heart. They had closed themselves off from Hashem by serving idols. Some of them were even v'arelei basar, actually uncircumcised, as they had siblings who had died from the bris milah. These people should not have been given access to the Beis HaMikdash grounds and should not have offered karbanos. Instead of faithfully appointing people to protect the sanctity of the Mikdash, v'tisimun l'shomrei mishmarti b'mikdashi lachen, you have put as guards for my watch for the Mikdash those who would please yourselves. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Hashem sets down the rules for entry. There should be no one who has made himself a stranger to Hashem, who is distant from him, and no one who is an Arel Lev or an Arel Basar, whether they are Kohen, a Levi, or Yisrael. In Psukim Yud through Yadalid, verses 10-14, Hashem clarifies the status of the Kohanim who were not descended from Tzadok. These Kohanim served idols during the first Beis HaMikdash and could therefore no longer serve Hashem as Kohanim. They acted as strangers to Hashem, so Hashem will now act as if they are his strangers to him. During the third Beis HaMikdash, they will have this status like the Levium. Their job will now be, Pasuk Yadalid, verse 14, Shomrei Mishmeres Habayis, L'chol Avodiso U'L'chol Asher Yesabel. They will be keepers of the charge of the house, for all of its work and for all that will be done in it. They will be able to guard the gates or do jobs like Shechita or Nesachim that could be done by a Kohen Levi or Yisrael. The Malbim says that they will be allowed into the Chatzar Hapnimi, into the inner courtyard, where they can wash the floors and prepare the dishes, even though they can't offer the karbanos. They will also stand with the Levim to sing. Who will be the new Kohanim if the old Kohanim have been disqualified? Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, V'Kohanim ha-Leviim b'nei Tzadok, but the Kohanim who are Leviim, who are the descendants of Tzadok. The first Kohen Gadol during the time of Shlomo was Tzadok. His children guarded the Mikdash when Bnei Israel strayed, and they did not serve Avodah Zarah. Heimu yikrivu elai l'sharseini. They, meaning the children of Tzadok, will bring karbanos to me to serve me in all the roles of the Kohanim. Only these Kohanim will be able to eat from the karbanos. Pasuk Yitzayin, verse 17. The Bnei Tzadok, when they functioned as Kohanim, bevo'am al sha'arei ha-chatzer ha-pnimis, when they entered into the gates of the inner courtyard, they needed to wear linen clothes, including linen hats and a linen belt, and not wear any wool clothes inside the inner courtyard or in the Heichal itself. This is actually a change from halacha. During the first and second Beis HaMikdash, only Kohanim needed to wear belts made of shatnez, which is made of wool and linen. Only the Kohen Gadol wore a belt of only linen on Yom Kippur. Rashi says that part of the pasuk about the belt only refers to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur alone. The Radak and Malvim say that because of the elevated level of Kedusha during the third Beis HaMikdash, the status of an ordinary Kohen would be elevated, like the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, so there is an exception to this halacha in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Tes of verse 19 continues the topic of what the Kohanim should wear. After the Kohanim sacrificed the Karbanos in the inner courtyard, they then went to eat the meat in the Lishkalos. These administrative buildings are technically located in the outer courtyard, but because of the way the buildings were situated, it's as if they were connected to the inner courtyard. However, after their meal was done, before the exit to the outer courtyard, El Ha'am, to be near lay people, they needed to leave their tohar clothes in Lishkaos and dress in regular clothes. V'lo yekadshu es ha'am bevigdehem, they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. The Mesudas David says that the reason they wouldn't wear their special garments when they were not serving or eating was so they would not mingle with the people and their import be lessened with familiarity. When they were dressed as lay people, they could interact. However, as Kohanim, a special dignity was demanded of them to reinforce the necessary respect for the messengers of Hashem. The halachos of the Kohanim continue. The pasuk tells them that they need to be well-groomed, not getting a buzz cut or a wild hairstyle. The halacha defines this as having a haircut every 30 days, while for the Kohen Gadol, he needed to have a haircut every Shabbos. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, they should not drink wine before serving the Beis HaMikdash. The laws of who they can marry seems to change. The Kohanim are told they won't be able to marry a widow, divorcee, or convert, while in the Torah it says all Kohanim except the Kohen Gadol can marry a widow. The Mefarshim once again grapple with this change. Rashi says it applies only to the Kohen Gadol, while the Radak says that in the future, Kohanim will only be able to marry the widows of Kohanim, as opposed to all widows. Pasuk Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet set out the important role that the Kohanim are meant to play. This Amiyoru, they will teach my nation. They will teach them how to differentiate between that which is holy and that which is mundane, and to be aware of what is Tame and Tahor. Moreover, they will adjudicate and teach about financial matters. Ves Torosai, Ves Chukosai, Bechomo Adai, Yishmoru, Ves Shapsosai, Yekadeshu. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed seasons, and they shall make my Shabbos holy. They will also teach about the holidays and the technical laws of Halacha. Their role is to teach and guide the people through the Torah, thereby ensuring the holiness and purity of the people. Yecheskel then mentions another area of care for the Kohanim. Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, the El Meis Adam lo yavo l'tam'ah, and they shall come near no dead person to defile themselves. These halachos are the same as in the Torah. However, since, according to the Malbim, there have been extra restrictions on their behavior, the Kohanim need to know that this area of law has not changed for them. Pasuk Chaf Ches, verse 28, begins to summarize what these laws and special jobs means for the Kohanim. V'haysa lehem l'nachala, ani nachala sam, v'achuza, lo sinu lehem v'yisrael, ani achuza sam. And it shall be for them as their inheritance, because I am their inheritance, and you shall not give them a possession in Israel, for I am their possession. The Kohanim are not given land to settle in Israel. Their service of Hashem, the karbanos they receive, and the mandated gifts given to the Kohanim, listed in Psukim Chaf Tes and Lamed 29 and 30, are in place of their portion of the land. The Pirate concludes with another enigmatic statement that seems unrelated to that which preceded it. Kol nevelu utrefa min ha'ofu min ha'veheva lo yachlu ha'kohanim. The priest shall not eat of anything that dies of itself or is torn, whether it be fowl or beast. This is strange, as all Jews must eat properly shechted animals. The Radak explains that this whole parak has been about the Kohanim living elevated lives, with increased Kedusha. They need to worry about the impact of non-kosher food, as this is their mandate, being holy. In this parak, we learned about how the east gate, either in the actual temple building or in the entry into the outer courtyard, would be closed. We then learned many future halachos as they related to Kohanim. The beginning of the parak seems unrelated to the end, but actually there is a deep connection. In the beginning of the parak, we learned about the humility of Hashem as he didn't need ceremony to enter the Mikdash, but minimized himself by entering the small gate to teach us that we should not seek publicity. In contrast, the halacha sets many guidelines that make the Kohanim special. Part of these halachos prevent the Jews from socializing with the Kohanim while they are on Har Habayis. The Kohanim cannot even leave the area designated for eating their meals without changing into weekday, not holy clothes. This was done so that the people in Kohanim would reflect on the role of the Kohen in society and recognize that the Kohen was different and that the Kohen was there to guide and to teach. There is an important lesson in here for us all. If possible, we should not seek honor. We should be like Hashem who comes in through the side gates. At the same time, we need to also provide others with proper boundaries. Making these guidelines is not about making one person feel good or bad or important. Its goal is to help us appreciate who are our leaders and so that we can listen to them with respect, not because they want it, but because of the impression it makes on us. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.